Matt, are you on the air? Okay, I think actually we might have lost Matt. That's no problem. Well, look, let me take this opportunity to give a big shout out to the people at People's Potato.
Yes,
and
for sure.
The Food Liberation Party for preparing some fantastic food here tonight. I was there earlier tonight, and there's so much love in that food. It's more than just the vitamins.
And it keeps you warm.
It really does. So if there's anyone out there in the city right now, and you're out there and it's cold and you need a good meal, well, this is where you're going to find one. The address, by the way, if you want to come by and give some support, it's 1104 Ontario Street East. And one more time, that number is, if you want to call in, it's 1-866-763-4136.
I wonder if Harry perhaps is back on the line. Let's see if Harry's on the line.
Harry.
He's gone.
Harry!
Oh, he's gone again. I think we'll be doing that periodically during it, but anyway.
That's what cool. About Matt?
Matt, I don't know. I guess we also have someone else coming in
as
well.
Yeah, we're
going to
be having
on.
The...
Mr. Sultan Kungal from the Daily Food Bread Bank, and Mr. Sultan Kungal, mm-hmm. qui vient de l'accueil... pas l'accueil, excusez-moi. L'association des banques alimentaires... pas l'association, excusez-moi. La Banque alimentaire de pain de quotidienne, alors de Toronto. Yeah. Et les autres, ils ont affiliation un petit peu avec l'association canadienne, mais les autres, c'est une des plus grosses banques alimentaires qui existent à Toronto. Mm-hmm. Et ils sont aussi associés avec thinkideas.com qui a des différents projets comme échanger ton cellulaire pour des dons, pour des mets des plats. Et des différentes idées comme ça. Alors, ils sont très, très innovateurs avec ça.
Well, I have a question for Sister Nicole. Maybe you can tell me how long you've been working at Akoi Bono?
It's a long story. I've been there for 20 years.
For 20 years?
Yes.
Wow, okay. So
it's a big family. And for us, to give food is a way to get in link with people and to build a trust and to get further up. We try, as I said, to bring people to leave the street, to leave the shelter, to have their own housing. So we give help in this direction, not to be just giver of soup, but to bring people out of the street. And so we have renters. We have three houses with rooms. They can rent as a real renter. Mm-hmm. So that's our aim, to bring people to be in their own housing. Mm-hmm. But we know that we need the support of a kind of soup kitchen because of the cost for the rent.
What can people do to help your organization? What can people do to, especially like with respect to nutrition and food and making sure that when people do leave, they're strong and they're healthy and they're able to stand on their own 2 feet?
Mm-hmm. We have a big kitchen, but also we try to make that kind of food they can bring home, like spaghetti with sauce and meat and things like this. And I think there is place for more initiative to help people to eat a more healthy manners and to make their own food in a proper way. Mm-hmm. And we need the help, I think, of dietitian and things like this, a special program with small group and gardening, things like this. There is a... I think we are able to accept any kind of help to bring... to build some new programs and to do things new.
What kind of new programs do you guys have in mind? Like, what's the future here?
I think about the gardenings in our area, and to be together, to prepare food and mm-hmm. to share it, and even to go to the country to have a farm, things like this.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Wow. Madame Bertrand, are you do you have any experience, or have you seen these farms or garden plots in the city? Say a little bit more about them. I myself only know the small ones.
What it's called? I tried in English. Is it better or
English?
C'est comme vous voulez.
Okay. The collective gardens started in one place west of Montreal, and the groups, when they told us about what they were doing with the collective garden, they just realized that this is a way not only to feed people but to build up some kind of solidarity between the people, and to make the people to be involved in their community, just to feel, to be able, to be empowered, we say. Yeah. But I don't like that word too much, because it means almost nothing now. What I have to emphasize is that they are able to feel comfortable with the way they feel, the way they can do things.
Okay.
And the people who were leading those collective gardens, when they told us about that, we just decided to finance them to try to scan the island of Montreal and to see, well, are there any places in Montreal where we could develop collective gardens? And it was just a marvel that we discovered. There are many, many, many places.
That's great.
You know, in the...
Okay. Oh, I think we have Harry with us.
Okay. I'll come back later.
Hello, Harry. Harry, hi. Welcome. Bienvenue. You're on the air.
Oh, we're getting feedback. That's not good. Feedback always tries to find a way into
it. It was kind of telegraphic. I think feedback was trying to tell us something there. Harry, are you there with us? Hello, Harry. Matt.
Yes.
Perhaps
Matt. Matt.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
How you doing?
I've been searching for a long time.
Thank you for your patience.
Seek and you will find.
No problem.
Nice to have you back.
Would you like us to sum up for you, perhaps?
Did you have a chance to listen in to the conversation?
No, not really. I can't hear. I'm still having problems hearing a little bit as well.
Okay, I got ice forming on this mic. I'm talking so close to it. So.
Can I share something?
Yeah.
Yes.
My name is Selden, and
yes, Mr. Selden.
Selden,
welcome to the conversation. We were mentioning you before.
Thank you so much. And I'm an immigrant, and I also volunteered to work in the one of the branches of the food bank in Toronto, which is called Parkdale Center for Active Resources. And I want to share this experience from my own experience of what I've made it during my volunteer work at the Parkdale Center for Active Resources. Tuesdays we distribute food, and it definitely is a real great help for a lot of people, especially immigrants who have no job, and naturally some of them are low income people. So the food distribution was one of the biggest help for a lot of people, especially people coming from India, Tibetans, Russians, or even some of the Canadians who have low income. So I truly, because for myself also, I take welfare, and I have to rely on the food banks, you see. So I basically want to share this, that the without the food donations, I think there will be a huge some sort of problems for a lot of people, people like myself, you see. So I just want to say this, you see, because I've been helped a lot with the food bank program. So I'm sure there are a lot of people listening this discussion on food bank,
yeah.
And I'm sure there are a lot of kind people who can make a big step to make the immigrants as well as Canadians in Canada in a safe place, you see.
And they should be, if they'd like to be helping out, they should be getting in contact with their local food bank and shelter and asking them exactly what kind of food to donate and where they can donate that?
We have a main food bank office in the, because I don't fully, as like Matt, you see, Matt has done a lot of research on that. I don't fully have the total knowledge about the all the food banks, how they run in Toronto, but I have the only experience in one of the branches in the Toronto, which is Parkdale for Center for Active Resources. They are most welcome to do that. We are located at the St. Joseph Health Center, mm-hmm. 30 Queensway. That's how I get experience how this food bank program was running.
Okay, nice. You know, what we're going to do right now is actually translate some of what you've said, just to open up the conversation to our francophone listeners.
Oui, alors l'annonceur qui vient de joindre la conversation s'appelle Monsieur Sultan Kungal, qui vient de la Banque alimentaire de pain quotidienne de Toronto. Il était représentant de cette banque et il parlait de son expérience. Il est un récent immigrant de Tibet, il était moine. Et là, maintenant, il est arrivé, ça fait depuis 2002, je pense qu'il avait dit. Alors, il avait dit que il est sur le bien-être social et que c'était à cause des banques alimentaires qu'il lui a aidé et les services des banques alimentaires de la banque alimentaire de pain quotidienne, Daily Food Bread Bank, qui l'ont aidé à se supporter. Et aussi, c'est pour ça qu'il dit qu'il n'est pas dépendant sur ça, mais ça a vraiment aidé et ça aide beaucoup à les autres communautés d'immigrants qui arrivent de l'Inde ou de Tibet ou de Bangladesh et des autres endroits comme tels. Et alors, c'est pour ça que lui aussi a aidé. Il a aussi aidé aussi avec les problèmes sociaux que les gens ont aussi. Et c'est pour ça qu'il avait référé aux gens qui vivent à Toronto à y aller. Et c'était situé à Saint-Joseph sur Queensway. Et peut-être Matt pourra aussi joindre la conversation encore parce que M. Kingsley avait dit que Matt aurait plus de détails sur quelque chose.
Okay.
We still have him.
Yeah. Okay, I have a question for Sultan and for Matt. Are you guys there?
Yes.
Awesome. Is there anything you'd like to ask Madame Bertrand or Sister Nicole here about you know how homelessness might be from a Montreal perspective? You guys are well acquainted with
Well, I'd be curious to know from them how many of their elected officials have been actually involved in contacting their organizations and seeing what types of policy changes they could possibly bring to help improve the situation of Montreal's homeless.
Okay. I'm not sure. I know my earphones weren't turned up completely for that one. Did you get that, Lise?
Yeah, it's policy services.
Awesome.
Maybe we could ask Madame Bertrand sur les services ou s'il y a eu d'autres politiques que peut-être les organisations veulent mettre en place à propos de la situation.
Est-ce qu'il y aurait à mettre en place?
Est-ce qu'on a fait assez? Y a-t-il assez de représentants des organisations ou du gouvernement qui font quelque chose pour aider la situation? Les services ici. Y a-t-il assez des personnes qui sont venues à les banques alimentaires ou à Accueil Bonneau?
Écoutez, premièrement, là, au niveau gouvernemental, ce qu'on commence à réaliser, c'est qu'il faut toujours recommencer. Un exemple, le Québec allait tout juste se doter d'une loi de lutte à la pauvreté. Il y avait un projet de loi qui avait été presque en train de passer. Le gouvernement avait promis un plan d'action. Il y a eu un changement de gouvernement et là, le plan d'action n'est toujours pas sorti. Ce que je veux dire par là, c'est que c'est au niveau gouvernemental et à bien des niveaux, il faut toujours, toujours maintenir la lutte et recommencer sans arrêt. C'est ça qui fait que les choses avancent si lentement. On se demande tout le temps comment se fait-il qu'on travaille depuis 20 ans dans un domaine où dans lequel on croit, bien sûr, et on pense qu'il peut y avoir des avancées, mais tout d'un coup, oups, on fait un pas en avant, on en fait deux en arrière et on recommence. Alors, tout ça pour dire qu'il y a toujours des politiques qui doivent être mises en œuvre. Moi, ce que j'aimerais beaucoup à Montréal, personnellement, ce serait que on arrive à ce que au moins ceux qui peuvent avoir un rôle dans le domaine de la sécurité alimentaire, de la pauvreté, tant les entreprises qui mettent des gens à pied, par exemple, juste parce que les actionnaires ont pas assez gagné, tant ceux-là que le gouvernement municipal qui peut permettre, par exemple, un meilleur zonage, qui peut permettre que les HLM, que les coins où il y a des logements sociaux, qu'on leur permette ou qu'on leur aménage des coins pour se produire la nourriture, par exemple, que ceux qui s'occupent de l'aménagement urbain, les urbanistes, se préoccupe de l'approvisionnement. C'est quoi les coins d'approvisionnement et adéquats à Montréal? Ils sont capables d'agir. Nous, en santé, c'est de dénoncer ou enfin d'amener les chiffres que l'on examine sur l'état de situation. Enfin, la santé publique, là, tel que le rôle nous est dévolu, c'est de regarder les choses, mais il faut qu'on le dise aussi. Il faut qu'on dise à ceux qui peuvent agir, regardez ce qui se passe. Enfin, il y a une foule d'acteurs qu'il faut qu'ils se mettent ensemble. Puis là, à Montréal, moi, je pense qu'il y a un mouvement qui est fait. Il y a des très bonnes concertations qui existent. Mais là, entre s'asseoir, hein, n'est-ce pas, réfléchir, se parler et agir, ben là, il faut faire le pas, là.
So basically, to translate that for Matt and for our Apple listeners, she is in total agreement in the sense that there needs to be more done with regard towards policies. And in fact, she said that there is a recent Quebec law on poverty that was issued. But of course, everything always takes its sweet time, and so we go one step forward and we go two steps back. And so she said that there's been a lot of the services that are supposed to be offered, but everything has been taking a while, and she was saying it's been taking 20 years for things to really get issued. There have been stuff that have been occurring, but it is taking its sweet time. And I do believe that's all I could say for now.
Fair enough. There's so much to say, but...
Because I guess everyone can agree in the fact that there always needs to be more done, but it always depends on the legislation of what the provinces have issued, the government itself. And the Quebec government obviously has its own issues, and the Ontario government has its own policies as well, and maybe they offer more, maybe they have more of a lack stress, but maybe just they focus a lot more on it than maybe we do, or maybe not. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe Matt knows.
Salton, Matt? Harry!
Harry, are you back with us? We're almost done. So you're listening to CKUT if you're just joining us.
That's right. It's the Homelessness Marathon 90.3. And the phone number, if you'd like to call in, is
1-866-763-4136. 1-866-763-4136 pour nous joindre sur CKUT, Radioton sur la pauvreté. Mm-hmm. On est avec Mme Bertrand ici et Mme Sœur Nicole de l'accueil Bonneau. Et il fait froid.
Oui, il fait froid!
Yeah.
Ouais.
It's getting a bit cold.
To fight against poverty, sometimes we try too much to do things for people, and we forget what they can do for themselves. And I think it's better to take time to bring someone to do something by himself than just to find the solution for the person. The fight against the poverty, I think it's a long process and it takes time. But so many times we forget this person has something to do and would like to do it and to be proud of themselves. To give the chance or to the people to do something by themselves, not to only to give things.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the really nice things you mentioned is that your organization Akoi Bono is trying to get people involved with food and the whole process. You know, the growing of food, the producing of food, the making of food with other people, and all these issues are extremely important. And it's not just, you know, what you eat and what kind of calories are there and the vitamins and stuff. It's really understanding food as an overall health concern. It's a wonderful project. And I also, again, want to say thank you so much to the people working in the shelters and putting in so much devotion and love into their work. I'm not sure how much attention always gets shown on these people, but thank you so much. Thank you so much for the people who helped make the food today and the people who gave the food today. And I'm sure we all have our stories too about, you know, the amount of hours of work which just goes in without a second's thought.
Also think that we could also perhaps talk a little bit about the magasin partage, the shared grocery stores that are available here. That maybe Belize Bertrand could talk to us about a little bit, un petit peu. Peut-être des regroupements des magasins de partage et leur rôle dans Montréal.
Les magasins partage sont comment je dirais, un concept quasiment et une initiative qui est née du fait qu'à Noël, justement, il y avait des grosses campagnes et des grosses razzias pour donner plein de nourriture. Mais évidemment, on réalise, et comme on vient de le dire tout au long de cette heure, que les gens n'ont pas le choix. Ils prennent ce qu'on leur donne. On leur donne un panier à provisions, un sac, et ils le prennent et ils prennent ce qu'il y a dedans. Les magasins partage ont voulu être mis sur pied pour donner aux gens un choix. Alors, le magasin partage est comme une petite épicerie où les gens qui ordinairement iraient se chercher un sac à provision pour l'époque de Noël se présentent dans cette épicerie qui est montée aussi pour l'époque de Noël. Et le regroupement des magasins partage tient à faire la différence. C'est pas sur une base annuelle. Le magasin partage et le vrai magasin partage, comme ils disent, existe à l'époque de Noël et pour permettre justement aux gens de se faire des menus à leur choix, comme tout le monde le fait à cette période-là. Il y en a, par contre, il y a d'autres organismes qui essaient de monter des épiceries communautaires sur une base quotidienne, base annuelle. Et à ce moment-là, ce n'est plus ce qu'on appelle le magasin partage.
So to translate that?
Yeah, let's definitely.
So the Magasin de Partage, the shared stores, they're available across Montreal, but they were first originated during Christmas time, and so people can have more of a choice into what they want for food, and rather than just be given just a bag of stuff and that's it. So they're there. Now, since that idea, there's basically been other stores that have taken off from the idea of Magasin de Partage, shared stores, and have develop their own type of little grocery store that offers the same type of concept, the same type of idea that's available to people. So for those from low-income families and whatever income you are, pretty much if you're working class, low-income, or poor, you can go there and you won't be discriminated against. And you can get food for free or either maybe for a couple of donations if you want to give you at least some dignity to shop for good quality food.
Well, that's a terrific idea.
I wonder if Harry's back. Thank you for trying anyway, Harry.
Yeah.
And, well, perhaps we should thank Matt Ferguson and
Kungal
for joining us as well temporarily and for giving us some insight onto how it's going on in Toronto.
Yeah.
Est-ce que je peux dire qu'à travers le Canada, il y a un Food Security Network? Qui rassemble une foule d'organismes préoccupés par la sécurité alimentaire et qui veut rassembler toute la société civile autour de ce qui rassemble autour de la sécurité alimentaire. On veut, par ce network, sensibiliser la société sur la pauvreté, oui, mais également sur le système alimentaire. Et essayer de faire pression, par exemple, sur le commerce international pour que les producteurs des pays pauvres, qu'on ne les appauvrisse pas avec ce que l'on fait avec la nourriture qu'ils nous envoient. Et ici même, aussi au Canada, que l'agriculture, par exemple, soit soutenue d'une façon digne pour les producteurs. Alors, c'est un concept très, très large de la sécurité alimentaire qui est amené dans ce network. Et il y a plusieurs moissons, par exemple, Winnipeg et le Toronto Food Policy Council, etc., qui sont très actifs dans ce network.
Oh, thanks a lot. Okay, so just in case you're tuning in, this is the Homelessness Marathon on CKUT. If you'd like to call in, the number is 1-866-763-4136. This hour has been taking a look at the question, going hungry in Canada. Why are Canada's homeless going hungry? And we've had on our panel today Sister Nicole from Akwe Bono and Madame Lise Bertrand from the Quebec...
Public Health Services of Quebec.
Region of Montreal.
Montreal, of course.
And on the phones today, we've also had...
Matt Ferguson.
From
the Association of Canadian Food Banks, and from Mr. Sultan, who is our Tibetan monk friend,
right,
from the Daily Bread Food Bank from Toronto as well.
Yeah.
And we thank the community radio stations in Toronto as well if they're listening to us as well. Thanks for tuning in.
And we're out here on the street, and it's it's getting cold. It got cold like 30 minutes ago, and we've just been like sitting here with these frozen smiles on our face, like, yeah, it's cold, and the wind's picking up, and
it's almost 9 o'clock.
Yeah,
time
flies. Imagine? So,
well, I wonder if Harry is back on. Maybe we could get him on for 30 seconds. No. Well, then. Okay. Thank you anyway, Harry, and keep on listening to CKUT.
Yeah.
And thank you for joining us, Madame.
Thank
Lise
you very
Merci
much.
Beaucoup.
Just
for
pleasure.
We can go in.
Thank you, Madame Zalmigal.
Maybe we can warm up with a coffee.
Thank you all very much. You are listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. The toll-free number here for the Homelessness Marathon is 1-866-763-4136. The time is 9:55 p.m. So upcoming is a piece from Edmonton, Alberta, from CJSR program called Youth Menace. This excerpt is made up from the voices of children and youth ingrained in the justice and child welfare system. You will find on this piece the focus on a wide variety of issues, including homelessness, the hungry, criminalization, and many other issues. Much of the background music was written and performed by Edmonton Street Youth, including those interviewed for this piece. One part that I found very chilling is a scream of a child being restrained by child welfare in the background of the interview. The girl being interviewed, her only reaction was asking if we wanted the door to be shut, as if these restraints are a normal part of life and care. So... Just to reassess here, there are many stations tuned in right now to the Homelessness Marathon, many across Canada. For example, we've got in Winnipeg, we have CKUW 95.9. In Alberta, we've got University of Calgary, CJSW, and also First Alberta Campus Radio Association, CJSR 88.5. So now we're going to be hearing the piece, and this is... as an interlude to the next panel that we have, which is the criminalization panel. We're entering into hour 5 of the marathon, and here is the piece from CJSR, Youth Menace.
No clothes. No doors.
No home.
No family.
No love.
No rights.
No choices.
No future.
No voice.
No justice.
Listen to our youth.
Real youth.
Real problems.
Youth Menace, Canada's only young offender radio show.
A show for youth, by youth, familiar with the youth justice system and the Child Welfare Act.
Listen to the youth your mother warned you about, and the music mainstream radio hates.
Here on the little station that damns the man,
CJSR.